Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Collerbach. This is episode 313. We're going to do a two-parter. Daniel West is my guest.
You.
How you doing?
I'm good.
We're going to do the same mic twice a week apart.
Hey.
We're getting to know each other. I know. You know what I mean? Well, what a great opportunity to make friends having a podcast. I think I first saw you at the Roma Room or here at Anderson Mill. And your stage presence, like, immediately you were comfortable.
Yeah, and I go,
there's something different about him on stage than most people on stage.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that.
Why is that? Why do you have these stage presence skills?
I credit that to my theater background. I've been doing theater since I was, like, 11, like, maybe younger than that. But, yeah, I just loved being on stage. I loved acting. I loved entertaining people since I was a kid. And so I studied it in school, college, for a few years. But, yeah, so I credit that to that.
Was that play, like, well-attended that you did at UT? You went to UT, Austin?
Yeah, I did a few.
Did you do, like, plays that were, like, well-attended and you played your part?
Yeah, I did two main stage shows, which are the shows that they actually promote. And I did two of them. My freshman year, I did Fame, the musical. I played a theater teacher, so and that was a cool show to do.
Wait, you were a freshman and you were the teacher.
I was, yeah.
Someone saw something.
Yeah, yeah, baby face, young man, and they're like, get his big ass up there and be a professor. But yeah, that was a cool experience.
You're an old soul.
Yeah, yeah, and then my last semester there, I did this. It was like its first predominantly black show that they did. It was called In the Red and Brown Water, and I played a lovable big dude who loved this girl and was shy and everything. So yeah, it was a cool production. Yeah.
So, you know, you go all through high school. You grew up in Houston.
Yes, sir.
Going to church.
Houston, Texas.
You know, church boy.
Yeah, I was a church boy.
And, you know, they made you go to math. They made you go to science. They made you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Were you just looking forward to the play? Were you just looking forward to, like, what play?
Yeah, no, like, I definitely found, like, my happiness in theater. Like, I was, anytime I was performing in front of people, anytime I was entertaining people, that was when I was most excited. That was when I found peace, you know. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, like, especially in college, I'm in math and science class. Like, I don't want to be here. I want to go back to doing what I love. I want to go back to doing what I'm trying to do for the rest of my life. So that's why, you know, that's why I found my peace, I guess.
You have a very likable personality.
Thank you.
But you're also last night at Romo Room, I learned something new about you.
What did you
learn? You're a mean little bastard.
I'm a mean little bastard.
This guy comes in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You start taking shots at the wheelchair
guy. I didn't take shots at the wheelchair guy. So what happened was...
What?
I didn't take shots at him. What happened was they came in and the host goes, hey, thank you guys for walking in here tonight. We're doing open mic comedy. Come over here and sign up. And I thought that was really fucked up of him to go, thank you for walking in, and one of the guys was in a wheelchair. So I was making sure the host knew that that was not the right moment. Like, you don't tell a dude in a wheelchair, thank you for walking in. No.
And I said, hey, thanks for going through.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. That's a better way to say it. And then I said, yeah, that's like saying, hey, Greg Abbott, when are you running for president? Never. He's never running for president. He's rolling at best.
You're a mean little bastard. So the first mic you did was almost accidental. You were going around Austin watching.
Yeah.
You moved to Austin March 2021. A birdie told me that.
Yeah.
You walked into, you were trying to check out the scene. Did you do shows in Houston first before you, like, stand up open mics?
No, so I came out here after I dropped out of college. That's another story that we'll get to, I guess. But after I left college, I moved back to Houston, and then Joe Rogan moved to Austin, and I was like, oh, this is a perfect time to move back to Austin and do comedy. I've always wanted to dibble in comedy, and I thought, I'm working from home, it's the pandemic, nobody's going outside, this is the perfect time to make this type of move. So I come out here during vacation in December 2020, and I go to this showcase show run by, shout out to Brittany Ledesma and Ivan Garcia.
Oh, I think they run the WTF.
Yeah, mic, right? Yeah, the WTF mic.
Wolf,
I came out to their
Wolf Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah, yeah.
Bar near Sixth Street.
I hope that's his last name. I don't want to fuck up his last name on a podcast.
Well, it's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. They have showcase shows at the back of this place.
So Ivan Garcia, shout out to them. But they were running the show, and there was a crowd in there, and Francisco Ramon. Francisco Rincon. I'm still learning people's names. Francisco Rincon. And
my number one favorite comic.
Yeah, he's great. He's doing his bit, and these people, they're coming from like an office Christmas party. They're not in the mood for like this type of comedy that he's doing. He's very dirty, he's very raw, and they're not having any of that
he's
shit.
He's mentally ill.
Too. Yeah. He's a psycho. Yeah, they're not having any of it. So they walk out, and I'm the only person left in the audience. And they're the people, the comics are thanking me. They're like, "Yo, thank you for being such a good audience member." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've been doing theater for all my life, so it's natural for me to, you know, respect the people on stage."
Is that Josh?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I say, yeah, I've been trying to get into comedy. I'm moving out here soon, and I'm just scoping the scene out. And they were like, "Oh, you want to do a minute?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll do a minute, my first time ever." And I go in there, and I do a minute, and they enjoyed it. And they were like, "I can't believe this is your first time." They didn't believe me. And I was like, "Yeah, it is." So from that moment on, I went back to Houston, did a couple of mics out there, and moved here in March and been here.
Why'd
ever
you
since.
Drop out of UT and go back home? What was that like?
So
did some girl break your heart?
No. It's kind of a bunch of stuff, like family issues that happened. But I was never really into school after that. I auditioned for the department on a whim. It was like they have an audition for the theater department, and I was like, I'll go ahead and go.
What's up, James?
the deadline is on Friday. I'll go ahead and turn it in or whatever. And so I just went there, I got accepted, and I went. But I was never really into everything outside of theater. And to be honest, I wasn't the best student to begin with anyway. So after 2.5 years, I was like, you know what, this isn't for me. Even the university was like, "Yo, this isn't for you either." Like, I joke, I said the first day of classes, usually like in high school, you prepare for the first day of school and you're getting your outfit ready. Like, you got your fresh kicks, your fresh outfit, your fresh pants or whatever. Everything is ironed, ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Haircut is fresh.
You got hot boy summer, fall semester.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I prepared that same way for college. Went to the first class and they're like, "All right, everybody, time to do some notes or whatever." And then I went through my backpack and I was like, "Oh, shit." Went to my neighbor, was like, "Yo, can I borrow a pencil?" And he was like, "Yo, here." And I was like, "Yo, I'll give it back to you." He's like, "No, you keep it. I don't think you're going to last." And I was like, "I don't think I'm going to last either."
And so you were all about the shoes, you got the outfit, and then it was like, I learned, have a notebook and a pencil. You're like, "What?"
Yeah, I learned pretty quickly.
More like a fashion thing.
I learned pretty quickly. This isn't the same thing as high school, bro.
I thought this was like looking cute for the girls.
Yeah. I learned fairly quickly that college and high school are two different things, and I wasn't prepared at the moment. But eventually, I was like, you know what? This isn't for me. I enjoy theater, and I don't enjoy this other stuff. I can do theater outside of having to do this other stuff. And that's what I did. I went back to Houston and was doing shows at the Ensemble Theater. Shout out to them. It's a predominantly black theater in downtown Houston. And they pay. That's excellent.
As pay an actor. People.
Yeah.
Hey, you're being an actor. You're playing roles.
I was professionally acting like I wanted to, getting paid for it. And not having to pay to act.
Right. Taking classes. So you're like, wait a minute, I could just do... You're saying I could do plays instead of go to college?
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to do.
And you know what? People that go to college and graduate, shout out to y'all. I mean, y'all are great. It's not for me, you know?
Coming up to stage, Mr. Daniel West. Give it up for Daniel West. Hell yeah!
Give it up for yourselves one time. I was walking in the park... And I saw this couple walking a crippled dog. Why are we doing this? Why do we have crippled dogs? They had a fucking wheelchair attached to his back legs, and it was dragging along with a fucking diaper on. I used to have a dog. I never picked up that dog's shit. Why am I wiping a dog's shit off its ass? Let it do it. Let it drag its ass across the floor and wipe it up its damn self. I don't get this. It had a leash on. The fuck is the point of this leash? The where is this dog going that you can't bend over and pick it up immediately? Right? You don't even need to bend over. Just kick it back in place if it gets out of line. Just, what the fuck are we doing with this crippled dog? It's not like I'm, right? It's not like I have a thing against disabled people. No, that's different. You can be a person and disabled, do big things. The fuck is a dog going to do while it's crippled? Just look at other dogs, have regular dog fun? This dog is fucking miserable. Put it down and get a new dog. Stop being selfish. I know you grew up with this dog. I know it's a part of your family, but fucking kill it and move on.
We signed the list.
Yes, look, we did.
I think it pays to be a regular because the bartender came over to your boy.
Yeah.
And was like, how do I do this? What's going on? And I was like, oh, I think you should just write the list like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it seemed like she got a phone call from the host.
Oh, okay.
To the bar to start the list. And then she didn't. So then the list came right in my lap. So I just wrote numbers on it. And I wrote our names on it.
She was confused about how to start the list. Just put the paper down and go here.
No. But like, she goes, like, name and how much time you're doing. She thought all the comics had a different amount of time. Like, you get 4 minutes, you get 7 minutes, you get three.
Gotcha.
She didn't know everyone gets 5.
Yeah.
So, like, she
four.
Put the, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it depends how many people sign up.
Okay. Yeah.
So it could be four or five. So, you know. Hey, boy, you got the list. It pays to be a familiar face who tips well every time.
We on.
What are some of your favorite mics? I see you here a lot. I see you at Romo.
Yeah, I do Romo pretty much every day I can. You know, it's an easy sign up. You go online and sign up.
Yeah.
Romo.
It's a moving target though sometimes, because sometimes it's like it comes up at noon and then sometimes it comes up at like 5.
When I first moved here, I wasn't good at getting it. Now I pretty much got it like nailed down.
You gotta like have it on your thumbnail and like refresh
that. You
gotta
like every 30 minutes just refresh. But yeah, Romo, Anderson Mill every Tuesday, I'm here. It's a nice mic to just get your shit out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lucky Duck, whenever I can, whenever I get a good spot. that's a, you know, because they do the lottery stuff, so it's really hard to get a good number on that spot. But Lucky Duck, City, is it Cap City? Or not Cap City, what's the, in Pflugerville? The saloon, City Limit Saloon.
Oh, yeah, with Jimmy Clifford,
yeah,
and Joe Barksdale.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that.
Those are the main ones I do. I do other ones, but yeah, those are the pretty much the main ones I do.
So what do you think is like your superpower that you go in with, like, and I think it's stage presence and comfortability, but
yeah.
What are some things that you need to work on?
Yeah, well, when I first started, I was just going to open mics looking at comics, like seeing what people laughed at. And what I noticed is just have confidence. You're on stage with some type of confidence, and then people will at least listen to you. Like, that's all we're trying to get people to do, is just listen to us. Please laugh, but at least listen to me. Don't just go talk and do other shit. But if you listen to me, all right, cool. And that's what I noticed, just especially in Houston. I was doing, like, just, you know, small bars, like, one or two people in there, barely anybody in there, but, like, I get them to listen to me just because I wasn't boring and, you know, like,
depressing. No, I mean, the second you walk on stage the first time, I go, oh, there's something different about this guy. You
can
tell. It's that theater training of just, like, not freaking out when you step up, which is, like, so many people.
Yeah, just
like,
people can tell when you're uncomfortable on stage.
Yes.
And even now, I still have, like, a little, like, nervousness, anxiousness, but, you know, fuck it. I'm on here, people are going to laugh or they're not, whatever.
Because also, like, if you showcase any of that, you're going to bomb.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to literally fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
I also am, you know, listen, right off the bat, when I texted you and we were texting about doing this, I was like, oh, you're easy. And then, you know, you were here 5 minutes early.
I was.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, you show, if I book you, you actually show up.
Let it be known, a black man was here 5 minutes early, damn it.
Before the white man. This black man, college dropout.
Yeah. All the other stereotypes, but damn it, I'm not
like. But it's like, you're motivated by what you're motivated. Like, you want to do comedy, you want to do this shit. So it's like, but I get it, man. But it's like, dude, sometimes people, it's like 30 minutes after they're supposed to be here, like, oh, that was today?
Nah.
Like, bruh.
That's another thing you learn in theater. Respect people's time. You know, everybody has other shit to do outside of here.
Do you have a calendar, a monthly calendar on your wall that you write notes in?
No, but I just...
How do you do it?
I just know, all right, Tuesday I got to be here. at such and such time. Because it's important to me. If it's not important to me, I'll just let it slip by. Yeah. But yeah, if I actually care about it, I'll remember it.
No, I got a calendar.
There's somebody out there like, damn, he forgot my birthday. He doesn't care about me. Yeah, I don't.
That's great.
I did an Ancestry.com contest. Found out I was only 70% black. So that's fucking awful. 70% black. That's not a good number. That's a C-minus black dude. That shit is awful. Shit is fucking wrong. Like, it's not even a good 70%. It's an amalgamation of a bunch of nonsense. 29% Nigerian, 27% Cameroon, 14% East African, and the rest is a bunch of white bullshit. Right? Fucking Germany, Irish, Welsh, Scottish. Fucking slave masters running wild through my timeline. That shit is disgusting.
Welcome to Highway Diary. We're continuing on with Daniel West. This is day two in a week of recording.
It's been about, like 2 weeks since the last time we talked.
I know, but we've been through it together. Yeah. I did a mic, and then I saw you there, and I was trying to do the mic, and then I realized, like, you know, I always calibrate my expectations to the room that's going on. So, like, you know, for example, if you go in and there's four people not paying attention, you know, did you bomb or kill? It kind of, you got to calibrate your expectations, you know?
Yeah.
When the host is having a manic episode and telling everybody to fuck off and, like, during setups, during punchlines, leaving the room, not keeping time, for me, that's where there's not even a Captain Kirk of the Enterprise who's competently bringing up the next person. So that's when I have to, like, pull bait and just leave.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, though. I'm different. I'm a go with the flow type of dude. If the energy's going that way, all right, we're cool. This is what we're doing. We're just lounging. I guess it's two different personalities at play.
But then I see you again in a similar chaotic situation at Mueller Park. Mike with Victor Martinez and Mueller Park on Saturdays. That is a very chaotic Mike, because I'm trying to do dirty jokes. I don't really know. I'm a nightclub dirty comic.
Yeah.
And when you set up a pussy eating joke and then a group of 5-year-olds and their mom walk by in scooters, it's a little...
Yeah. You know, that just made me go, all right, I got to just get clean material. Like, I know I'm not I don't want to label myself a dirty comic, but all of my jokes are pretty much dirty. And if I, like, censor them, then it takes out a lot of the funny. But I was just like, all right, I got to get new material that families can enjoy, I guess, if I want to do it at this park. Because I was there last week, and one of the comics, Jordan, I forget his last name, but...
He's here tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's great. He's funny, real funny dude. And,
yeah.
He's like half black, and just watching him censor himself and say the N-word to a mic, it was just like... I said it when I did my time. I was like, yo, just say it. Let it loose. Say the word. I don't want to hear the N-word coming out of your mouth.
But I like Victor Martinez so much, and no matter what chaos is going on, you know, everyone's getting 5 minutes, and then the next person's going up. Mm. So it's like, if that fairness is there, then I can deal with it, because at least I know, okay,
I'm up
in three people. You know, it is a park. We're outside in a park when the sun is out. So, you know, there are families in scooters and dogs. Like, they're ducks, and that's part of it. Ducks could start flying right up to your face because it is outside in the park.
It's a very beautiful park, too.
It's gorgeous. So, like...
I feel bad that we're, like, telling dick jokes.
We're ruining the nature.
Very beautiful.
But I caught wise. I don't know if you noticed this, but last time I went there, I was sitting on the concrete for a long time on that amphitheater slab, and it really hurt my tailbone.
Yeah.
So then the next time, I moved to the grass. But then when I moved to the grass from the concrete, then ants were, like, in my pants, like, biting my balls on the way home.
Yep.
In my, like, ant, you know, where you can't get them out. They're ants. They're tiny. They're going to find the little place where they can bite. Last Saturday, I brought a nice... flannel blanket that I didn't share with anybody. Fuck you, get your own.
Yeah.
Put a nice pillow down. I was comfortable. I was just chillaxing. I got a Topo Chico.
Yeah.
Who's better than me?
living the life. I gotta do that. I'm just too lazy to remember. I gotta bring a blanket or something.
Yeah, just like our towel, just a beach towel.
Yeah, I'd rather stand than like sit on the grass, and or a concrete slab that does not look comfortable at all.
And like, I get it that like being the host of an open mic, it's like unskilled labor. First of all, nobody's getting paid for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might get a drink ticket here or there to like run the show, and that's like 2 hours of work of training these, you know, cats that are like walking. You know what I mean? Try to like, they're just walking anywhere. You gotta go, hey, you're next. Okay, you're next. What's your name? How do you say that? So you want to introduce some people? I get it.
Give it up for Daniel West, guys. Get over to Daniel West. He's great, isn't he? All right. Hey, let's keep that going. Keep that energy up. Get that applause up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. For your next comedian, Mr. Eric Hollaback. Eric Hollaback. So my mom recently had a hysterectomy. These doctors, they took my whole mom's pussy out. I don't know. They demoed the whole thing. They demoed it all. They gentrified my mom's pussy. They took it out, they demoed it to build new condos. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't trust these doctors. They found out my mom has really good insurance. She's got like good health insurance. And then they're like, yeah, let's take that thing out. Let's demo the whole thing. Let's remodel everything. I'm like, come on, man. It's like you ever meet a shady contractor and they realize you got like a 401k? And then they're like, okay, well, we're gonna get Stinky Rufus to power wash this and then upcharge. They didn't have to remove my mom's vagina. I used to live there.
Yeah, I think we should move on to like a different topic. I know that's
you're too nice, Daniel West. I'm trying to talk shit.
No, I'm very non-confrontational. I'll say that. I'm a very go with the flow type of person. Like I don't have time for like that type of energy, you know. Like if I see fuck shit going on, I mean I either do like you did, just walk away, or I just deal with the fuck shit. I'm not necessarily I don't like to deal with that type of energy. I love you know.
Wait, what's the fuck shit?
No, just like nonsense. Like we're talking about this. I don't really care to talk about it. I mean it happened like a week ago, you know. It happened like a week ago. I mean I'm
facts.
Like, you know, my mind is past it pretty much.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So, but I guess what I'm trying to talk about is mental illness.
Yeah.
Do you have any of that?
Not that I know of.
You solid as a rock?
I wouldn't say that I'm solid as a rock, but I don't know. I have a, I don't want to say a weird mindset about mental illness. I just, I don't know. I just feel like if I go get something diagnosed, then I go, okay, this is what's wrong with me. And I'm like,
it gives you an excuse.
I have an anchor, an excuse to fall back on whenever I have behavioral issues or whatever. But I mean, I just,
so that was not my bad behavior, that was my mental illness. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I don't want to have to fall back on that excuse, because I probably will. I know me, and I'll go, my bad, I have such and such, so I'm a dick. Instead of going, oh, I have to realize that moment. I know what ticks me off. I know how I am in certain situations. That's why I try to avoid certain situations.
All right. Look, I'm a petty douchebag. That's been established. But here's what I want to say. You have theater training, right?
Yeah.
So if you're in a play, and let's say you're, you know, the judge, and it's like a big jury, you know, it's a big jury play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like 12 Angry Men. You know what I mean? And you got your part, and you got the robe dry clean. You know, your mom drove you down there. And then, like, 3 of the 12 angry men don't show up. So then, and then there's, like, audience. They pop the popcorn. You know what I mean? I guess what I'm saying is, like, at a certain point, you just got to go, this is too much bullshit. Like, yeah. What are we doing here? And even as comics, you know, running open mics, we have to be clear about, like, what's worth our time, what's, like, what's, you know, what do you want to do in your life, and is this mic helping you accomplish that goal, or are you dealing with too much nonsense because of mental illness or because of unprofessional behavior?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, again, that's why I said learn when to walk away from certain situations. If I feel like this environment is going to be detrimental to whatever I got going on, I don't need to be here. You know what I mean? And I think that's a great way to look at certain things.
When a host is yelling at me that I'm a pussy ass bitch over and over again, it's like I'm out of here.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Yeah. This is unbelievably ridiculous.
I don't want to fight nobody, but it's like the people, you know, there's mental illness out there, including my mom. You know, my mom, she got a therapist. His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
And then my mom was going, oh my God, my therapist, he is like Jesus. He's the greatest therapist in the world. You know what I mean? Mm. He's really helping me. And then the therapist started calling out sick. You know what I mean? Jesus started calling out sick on my mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, and he's such a brave soul. Like, he's, you know, now he has COVID, you know? And I'm like, Mom, he doesn't have COVID. Maybe he's sick of your bullshit. Mom. Maybe.
I'm just tired of you complaining.
Like, exactly. Because, like, I'm trying to hang up the phone right now. I've been trying to hang up the phone for 20 minutes now.
Yeah.
But she's like, he's the greatest.
I mean, when people, you know, are able to tell you what's wrong with you and things that you never knew about, you kind of have a relationship with them, sort of.
Yeah. Look, I don't use it as a crutch. I use my mental health diagnosis as understanding.
Yeah.
Right? So I have what's known as codependent personality disorder. So, like, I'm, like, really loyal to my friends, and I'm really, like, codependent with comedy especially.
Mm-hmm.
But then it disappoints me sometimes, and it really bums me out. But when I get in a relationship, a romantic relationship with a girl, I'm, like, driving her to work. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, packing her a box lunch. You know, this is weeks before she gives me a first blowjob. You know what I mean?
All that type of shit, they break up with you, and you're like, you're just too good for me.
Yeah, exactly. I don't respect you because you're just a puppy that I can make do anything. And the one time I show my strength is it's like, okay, well, then I'm not going to take you to work. And they're like, you're not going to what? So you're not like just still animal. My slave, dum-dum? And I'm like, no, that's part of the girlfriend package. Aren't you my girlfriend? Well, not yesterday when I want to fuck up south and other dicks of people that are treat me like shit. Anyway. God damn it. My life is going off. here's the other thing I want to say. I deal with somebody, like, let's say, for example, a roommate. And they have mental illness and they have drug addiction. And it's like, I try to be sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, everything in my house is jury-rigged under laziness. So, for example, I'll go to grab the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Last roll.
Uh-huh.
Right? So then I started putting a fresh toilet paper on the water basin.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now my roommate's only using that, so he never has to replace the roll.
Gotcha.
So it's jury-rigged with laziness.
Nice.
That's what I'm dealing with. And so it's like, when I come out to do comedy, like, my patience, I guess, for any other nonsense or bullshit is, like, out the window. And maybe this is my cross to bear.
That's what you gotta do to your roommate, just do the mother thing. Like, I'm so disappointed in you. You're like, did your mother raise you this way? Just fucking leave the toilet paper roll off the thing. Just right to... Whenever I do that, and then I actually, like, get around to changing the toilet paper roll, I go, fucking, what was I doing? That was 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I just stop being lazy and just fucking change the thing. It's 2 seconds of my life.
Do you have roommates? What's your living situation?
No, I'm by myself.
You got your own studio?
I don't think I can do roommates. Or at least... I'm just not a fan of roommates, necessarily. Yeah, I like my own spot.
You got your own studio? You got your own...
Yeah, my own place. Yeah,
nice.
My own apartment.
And that gives you peace of mind. Now, you know, what are your habits as far as, like, do you cook for yourself? Do you put stuff in Tupperware?
I try my damnedest to do that.
Do you use produce do you find the cherries in the back of your fridge and, oh, they're all moldy?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how are you?
There'll be like a week where I'm good with like cooking and then like fucking saving food for later and eating just groceries. And then there's like a week where I just forget that I ever bought groceries and just I'm eating out and I'm like, fuck, oh, I forgot I had fucking a salad in here.
Yeah. You're eating wiener schnitzel and you're like, I bought hot dogs, they're in the house, you know. That is my one kryptonite. What's your favorite fast food? I like wiener schnitzel, bacon wrap hot dogs.
I'm from Texas, probably Whataburger.
Whataburger? What's your order?
Pretty much. Patty melt. I only go to Whataburger for two reasons. Patty melt or honey butter chicken biscuit.
What you just said there, the chicken biscuit, that's my thing.
Yeah, that was the go-to after a party during college meal. Everybody's drunk and just, all right, let's walk over to Whataburger. There's a group of people just flooding out Whataburger.
Now, awful. Do you ever fuck with, like, the In-N-Outs?
In-N-Out's cool. I just don't like the hype that they get for them. Like, it's very overrated. It's three things on the menu. It's burger, burger with cheese, double burger. Yeah. And then the secret chicken burger that you got to ask for. But I'm not.
They have
I'm
a black. Chicken burger?
Apparently, if you ask for a chicken burger, they'll give it to you. But I'm black, so I'm not. I feel like this is overstepping it. I'm not asking for a chicken burger that's not on a menu. Because what if it's not there? They're going to look at me like, it's, are you serious? This guy's black as shit. I don't want that. Heat on me.
All right. Well, you are good with going with the flow. Yeah, every time I see you, you're like, you know, you're just so easy to hang out with.
Yeah.
But then also, like, you kind of set the mood with your stand-up of what's going in the room. Like, you match the energy of what's going in the room.
I love that. I love to... I never really know what I'm going to do at a mic until I look at the audience and figure out, all right, this is what they're laughing at. Or they're not laughing at anything. They don't give a fuck. So I kind of... Right now, I know that's probably a bad habit to do, but as far as mics go, I'm just, whatever the room's at, all right, I'll match it there and then just go with my thing when I get on stage. But, anytime, I love Anderson Mill because there's always some shit that goes down, and anytime the room is awkward, I just love it because I always get, like, hours of material out of it. It's fucking great.
See, I love the cast too. I think your tolerance for it is just way higher than mine. Yeah. I have certain my only standard is if the host is doing their job, and that's why I like Anderson Mill, because there's two hosts. So it's like if one person has to step out to deal with a situation, or like, oh, we need another microphone because this one's not working, then the other host got it, and the host is going to throw up the next comic.
Yeah.
But when the host is breaking down, that's when I'm like, okay, this doesn't even make any sense anymore. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to cause drama. I don't want to put no bad energy out there. That's all I'm saying.
You're serious about your mics.
I'm serious about it because I'm like working on these jokes. Yeah. These are jokes that I got my old notebook too, and then I was like, oh, I haven't done that joke on a special yet. So let me try this, see if I can work that joke out. You know what I mean? So it's like, for me. Anyway, that's it. Your phone's going off?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I'm just inviting people to shows, trying to get people to come out and everything. Just got booked on like 2 gigs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw your talent right away. So when you know, I don't have no fucking, no dopes on my podcast. So when I saw you out and I was like, hey, please do my podcast because I can tell you're going places.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
Daniel West, everybody. Thanks. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at SirDWest. It's pretty much all my handles, Twitter, Facebook. I'm at Daniel West, but I barely go on Facebook. I'll be at the Romo Room this Monday for the Best of the Open Mic at 7:30.
With Nathaniel?
Nathaniel Klingon, I think is his last name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he hosts those. And then sometime in September, I'm doing a show then. I forget the date. It's like September 18th, but we'll get there when we get there.
Get him on the gram. Yeah. Add him on the gram, Daniel West. Go to erichollerbach.com. You can click the stand-up special tab. I got stand-up specials there. You can click the calendar. I'll be in Lafayette, New Orleans in October. That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks, my guest, Daniel West. Hello, everybody. Want to remind you about our sponsor, ACBD Remedy. That's ACBDRemedy.com. Use promo code ERIC for 20% off. That's ERIC for 20% off your order. Bye.